Welcome to Spotlight. Iran says its large-scale drills in the Persian Gulf area serve as a real warning to Israel, stressing that the Israeli regime's officials should watch their words when it comes to Iran. Iranian foreign minister also says the drills relay a crushing response to Iran's enemies, but also carry a message of security and camaraderie to friendly and neighboring countries. The drills saw missile and drone attacks on mock targets on the last day of the maneuvers in the south of the country and the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz regions. The exercises are part of military drills Iran holds regularly to improve its combat readiness.
Show of Iranian military might and Israeli saber-rattling. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps fired 16 ballistic missiles in a fitting conclusion to its latest exercises. The IRGC confirmed that the missile hit and destroyed their intended targets with 100% accuracy. Five-day drills, dubbed Great Prophet 17, also featured a variety of combat and reconnaissance drones, sophisticated ballistic and cruise missiles, and attack helicopters. Advanced homegrown tank, dubbed Karar, also debuted in the exercises. The joint maneuvers involved IRGC's ground, naval, and aerospace divisions and spanned over Iran's southern coastline almost entirely, including Hormozgan, Bushehr, and Khuzestan provinces. The Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz provided the maritime setting for Iranian forces to show their might. Iran regularly holds military exercises to maintain its combat readiness and deter any act of aggression. It says the maneuvers carry a message of peace and security for its neighbors and friendly countries. But this time around, the drills carried greater significance amid escalating anti-Iran rhetoric by Israel. The IRGC chief did not mince his words, describing the exercises as an authentic warning to Israel.
These maneuvers, particularly today's exercises, carried a very clear and explicit message, and that's a serious, real, and battlefield warning to the Zionist regime's officials, who have repeatedly issued anti-Iran threats, to beware of their mistakes and errors. In case of a misstep by them, we will cut off their hands.
General Salami stressed that all it takes to turn the drills into an actual military campaign is readjusting the direction the missiles are fired in. Israel and its main backer, the U.S., have repeatedly and overtly in recent weeks warned of a military offensive against the Islamic Republic, despite the ongoing talks in Vienna to revive the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action after the U.S. unilateral withdrawal, with Israeli President Isaac Herzog saying that Iran's nuclear program must be neutralized once and for all, with or without an agreement. It's widely believed that such threats lack credibility and serve as a mere leverage to extract concessions from Iran around the negotiating table. The Iranian negotiators, however, can confidently and nonchalantly stand their ground with such display of military prowess and deterrence backing them up.
Joining us on Spotlight, we have author and former U.S. diplomat Michael Springman joining us from Washington, D.C. Anti-Israel peace activist Henry Herskovitz joining us from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
This is the Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Springman in Washington. Sir, what are the message of these drills at this point in time?
Well, I think it makes it clear both to the apartheid entity that styles itself Israel and to its major backer, the United States, and American running dogs in Europe and the European community, and NATO that Iran is not to be toyed with, that if you keep poking Iran, if you keep sticking pins into it, you may wind up with more than you bargained for. And there's always the issue of war by mistake in the summer of 1914 with disastrous consequences. I think the world knows that Iran's missiles do not have the reach or the payload of the Israeli ones. The Israeli Jericho 3 rocket will reach as far as France in the west and as far as India in the east, and they carry nuclear payloads. The Iranian missiles don't carry nuclear payloads because the Iranians don't have any nuclear weapons whatsoever, and the country is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. So it's basically the Israelis threaten, and the American National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, is meeting with the Israeli government at the present moment. At the same time, the supposed talks on the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action are going on in Vienna. So it looks like the Americans and the Israelis are saying one thing and attempting to do another. And they want war with Iran, and I don't think they know the consequences of what exactly will happen.
Mr. Herskovitz, do you see these large-scale drills in the Persian Gulf region as an answer to the constant threats towards Iran? The IRGC has said that the drills serve as a real warning to Israel after repeated threats that the Israeli officials have made against Iran.
Well, I think we need to be clear that the Jewish state is the aggressor in the region. It's been the aggressor for 73 years against the Palestinian people. Now it's saber rattling against Iran, which is just a continuation. I don't know if people can see what I'm holding up in my hand here, but it's a brochure that I received 18 years ago when I attended an AIPAC conference in Chicago. And at that conference, Howard Kaur, the executive director of AIPAC, had a speech that said, Israel's most serious threat, the danger from Iran. So it's no news that Israel, the Zionist entity, is has been making these plans for years and years. If you can say one good thing about the past president Donald Trump, it was that he kept the United States out of war. And as an aside, I would say, and as an American, that the American interests have been. Manipulated very deviously by the Jewish lobby in this country, and so when the United States has this gets this reputation of being the aggressor with Israel, the war in 2003 with Iraq that cost 4,000 American lives was a complete war for the state of Israel. There's no other way to describe that, with 28 organizations from the Jewish community pressing strongly for war, and many Jewish individuals and pundits, people in high positions in our government pressing strongly for war in Iraq, and now they're doing the same thing in Iran. So this is no surprise, and they will also try to flip the story into labeling Iran as the aggressor with these war exercises. Again, it's not Iran who is the aggressor. I believe they have lived in peace with their neighbors, except for Iraq, for many years. They've never initiated a war. And all of a sudden, they have to get put in this defensive posture. Well, that's the game that the Jewish lobby plays, is to put their opponents in the defensive, and the world needs to stand up to this pressure, and say no, Israel doesn't have a right to exist as a Jewish state. It's very plain, and until the international community gets the spine to do this, then you're going to have Israel acting badly with my country's dollars.
Michael Springman, when a regime like Israel constantly threatens Iran, the proper stance is to rely on, upgrade, and enhance its own defensive capabilities. An analyst that we spoke to earlier here said that this is most definitely the proper position to take in the face of these threats. Do you see it in that light as well?
Well, I think that given Israeli aggression and its history of devastating its neighbors, whether you're talking about Lebanon or Syria or anywhere else in the region, and its constant threats to destroy Iran, I think any country with a lick of common sense would want to prepare against an Israeli attack. And I think the Iranian missile program apparently is going very well. The it has a variety of short and long-range missiles, and that I was told by an Iranian 3.5 years ago, well-connected fellow when I was in the country, that the Israelis and the Americans know what Iran can do, and at the same time they ignore it because they want to destroy the country. They know exactly that Iran has sufficient missiles. The Tehran Times recently published a list of targets in Israel, the apartheid entity, of which would be hit should the Israelis and the Americans initiate a war against Iran. So I think being prepared is sensible. Being forearmed is very sensible. And I think that it's very clear that Iran has not invaded another country in more than 200 years, whereas the Israelis and the Americans do it all the time. So I think the Iranians need to be secure and need to be prepared for anything.
Mr. Herskovitz, let's talk about Britain now. On these drills, Britain condemned the launch just earlier today, if I'm correct. They condemned the launch of ballistic missiles by Iran in the maneuvers. The British Foreign Office said these actions are a threat to regional and international security. What do you think? Is this double standards coming from a country pumping weapons into Saudi Arabia's war against the impoverished country of Yemen? Does that not disrupt regional security?
Well, of course, it's a double standard, but the British government is doing only what they're being told to do by the lobby, the Jewish lobby in that country. We need to remember how small the Jewish population is in both the United States and the United Kingdom, and yet they have this domination of the government, and they have the domination of the media that only allows certain items to be covered. It is it's duplicitous of England to condemn the defensive maneuvers that Iran is doing, and I think that the world needs to stand up to aggressors and not kowtow to them like they have for 75 years.
Michael Springman, Britain is concerned for international security here. What about those billion-dollar nuclear-capable submarines under the deal known as AUKUS? That deal has already been condemned by China as a risk to regional security. Unpack that for us.
Well, the Americans did the French out of a sale of submarines, and the Americans are crowing about it. And keep saying that China is the big threat. China is the great danger. And you know, how many dangerous countries do we have now? It's China. It's Iran. Next week it may be another country. I think sending nuclear submarines to the Australians, who have no need of it, and placing them so close to China and sailing them through Chinese territorial waters is a distinct provocation. And is another effort that will bring things far closer to the summer of 1914 than has been the case in the past. The Germans have sold submarines to the Israelis that are capable of firing nuclear missiles. This is absolute nonsense, and the Europeans and the Americans need to look at reality instead of fantasy. They are stoking the fires of war all around the world. And it's not Iran that's invading anyone, it's Britain, and it's Britain assisting the Saudis to invade and destroy Yemen. It's the Americans who are assisting the Australians to threaten the integrity of China with its submarines. So I think this is absolutely dangerous and on the edge of insanity.
Mr. Herskovitz, the U.S. has always had a hypocritical tone regarding Iran's deterrence-based missile program, but it continues to pump these lethal offensive weaponry into the region. Saudis are killing Yemenis as we speak with American-made artillery. Israel, too, is killing Palestinians and Syrians with U.S. advanced weapons. Realistically, they aren't expecting a regional powerhouse like Iran to sit idly by, are they?
Well, I wouldn't think so. When we talk about the United States pumping money into Israel, it's not necessarily in our best interests to do that. It's not in our interest to support the state of Israel. It's not in our interest to have supported it upon its creation. Truman was bought off, and there was a great deal of pressure within the United Nations, countries within the United Nations. If you take a look at the United Nations partition vote of 1947, I think it was, and you see of all the countries in the region, none of them accepted this intrusion of European Jews into the Levant. And it's clear that this Jewish history that is claimed that Jews are returning to their homeland is bunk, because we know that if there was any DNA proof that European Jews originated in the Middle East, we would hear about it every day, like we hear about Holocaust stories. I mean, I set a Google alert to the word Holocaust, and I get 14 stories today about an event that happened almost 80 years ago. This is what's beating the international community into submission, at least into silence, when Israel acts in an aggressive way, and then the media spins it that it's Iran who's acting in an offensive way. They're very much, as I said before, acting in a defensive way. But the spin that will come out will be that Iran is the bad guys and Israel is the good guys, when the reverse is true. Israel is indeed the bad guys. Zionism is indeed a bad political theory. And the fact that Jews support Israel worldwide almost unequivocally is shows us where our opponents lie and where the solution lies.
Michael,
if we
Springman,
just have the go ahead.
Yep.
Sorry.
Okay, Michael Springman, the issue of the spin putting on the narrative, as Henry just mentioned, as Iran is being criticized by the likes of the U.S. and the U.K. for holding drills. Saudi jets bombed a number of residential areas, including a sports complex and a site near a hospital, but no worries there because the weapons are U.S. and British made. Is this an obvious distortion of who is actually threatening security in the region?
Of course it is. The media, which is controlled by, in the United States at least, by maybe five or six corporations, most of whom have a board of directors that are heavily weighted towards the Jewish side, simply shapes the narrative, convinces the Americans that Iran is a demon, the Saudis are our best friends, and that Great Britain what's left of its empire are our natural allies, and simply don't deal with reality. And unfortunately, it's very effective. It works all the time. When you read about problems in occupied Palestine, it's the Palestinians who are the aggressors. They dare to attack the people who invaded and destroyed their country and drove 85% of the population out at gunpoint. You never hear about this. You hear about the wicked Arabs, the depraved Muslims. You never deal with reality because the story is so distorted by a handful of people who control radio, television, and the newspapers. So it's basically more problems and a blind eye that the Americans turn to the rest of the world, because basically the American population is pig stupid and badly educated and don't care much beyond their own neighborhood or their own city or their own state. They could care less about the rest of the world. And they leave everything to these fanatics who have gained control of governments in the United States and Britain. In the U.S., 2% of the population is Jewish. In Britain, 0.5%. Yet they destroyed Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party and replaced him with that crazy Boris Johnson. So with the aid of the chief rabbi of Britain. So it's basically a smoke and mirrors.
Henry Herskovitz, so when you look at the scope of these drills, the ballistic missiles, the drones, the naval cruise missiles, and etc., what does this say about the military capability of Iran, which is almost entirely indigenously built at this point?
Well, I'm certainly no expert on the military capabilities of Iran, and so I really can't answer that question very well. I can answer the questions of the Israeli might. In fact, that's what got me involved in this way, you know, 40 years ago when I was a supporter of Israel. I met a man who said that Israel was the fourth mightiest military in the world, and I said that's ridiculous, and he had a very nonchalant attitude, and I went back and I checked, and then I became really alarmed that nobody in the community that I was in at that time, which was a Jewish community, spoke up about this and told me about this. So it's this deception and devious behavior that's been the hallmark of Israel. I think the Mossad even writes about how they work by deception, and I think that the total control that we've talked about in the media and in the government is highly, you know, it's a formidable group of opponents. And until we have until the community, the international community, gets a resolve to stop this, I mean, it's clearly the insertion of a Jewish state in an area of the world that did not want a Jewish state. I mean, probably the reason they picked Palestine was because they knew the Palestinian people were about as docile a group as you could find. If they had tried to invade Texas and throw out Texans to create a Jewish majority state there, they would have found a different response. And hopefully the people that support the Palestinians, including Iran, have developed their response. And I hope that they are successful in eliminating this threat. I'm a peace activist. I don't advocate violence, but I'm certainly not under the crosshairs like Iran is,
sure.
And so my reaction might be well different if I was an Iranian living in Tehran.
All right, thanks a lot, gentlemen. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for tonight's show. Allow me to thank my guests, author and former U.S. diplomat Michael Springman, joining us from Washington, and anti-Israel peace activist Henry Herskovitz, joining us from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and also special thanks to you all for staying with us on Spotlight. It's good night for now.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا إفك افتراه وأعانه عليه قوم آخرون فقد جاءوا ظلما وزورا
And those who disbelieve say, This Quran is not except a falsehood he invented, and another people assisted him in it. But they have committed an injustice and a lie.
Brothers and sisters, we are now going to discuss the fourth verse of chapter Furqan. The fourth verse starts saying, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ And those who disbelieve say, This Quran is nothing but a lie which he has forged. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ And other people have helped him at it. فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا So indeed, they have done injustice and uttered a falsehood. So this noble verse is about the pagans' analysis, or in better terms, their pretext seeking against the call of the Prophet ﷺ when it says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ And those who disbelieve say, this Qur'an is nothing but a lie which he, the apostle, has forged. And they say that he was not alone in this. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ Other people have helped him at it. So, in fact, in order not to shoulder the truth, as those who in the course of history decided to be against divine leaders, they first accused him to falsehood. They accused the Prophet to calumny, and especially in order to scorn the Holy Quran, they used the word هذا, or this. This means that they wanted to scorn the Holy Quran, they wanted to suggest that this is not an important thing, so they referred to it with هذا, or this. And then, in order to prove that he could not say such words by himself, because saying such meaningful words, of course, needs at least a lot of knowledge, and they did not want to accept it, So, in order to say that this was a calculated program, they decided to say that he was not alone, and others have helped him at it, and that there was a conspiracy, and they must stand against him because he has been having the help of the others in forging these lies through this Quran. And overall, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ they said. This Qur'an is nothing but a lie which he has forged, and nothing else. There is no value in that.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Some of the commentators have said that the purpose of the term Qawmun Akharun, other people, is a group of Jews. Some others, however, have said that the objective is three persons of the people of the book. But what matters is that since such matters did not exist among the polytheists of Mecca and some parts of it, such as the story of former prophets and the story of some of the people of the book, they had to drag the people of the book into this accusation so that the people became less astonished and bewildered by hearing these verses. So, how evil and satanic those thoughts were in trying to scorn the Holy Quran, in trying to accusing the Prophet to falsehood and calumny. And it seems that throughout the history, this has been the best way that the polytheists, the unbelievers, the evildoers of the history have taken as their approach towards the righteous people. They always try to say that these people are forging lies and you should not believe them. They're just the usual normal people among us. And in this case, since he had brought something new, something valuable to their world, which was called the Quran, they couldn't believe that he himself had brought it to them. So they, under the pretext of being helped by the others, try to tell the other people of the society that he is forging lie. But this lie was with the help of the others, and that is why sometimes you may be astonished. But the Holy Quran tries to answer them in only one term. فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا. We will, God willing, talk about this verse later on. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the seas. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
When fit begin.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Live Christmas Special. Welcome to the program. This is Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's 8:35 p.m. Tehran time. We are with you with the special coverage of the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, the Messiah, peace upon him. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. I'm Ehran Darshande, hosting this program with my colleague.
I'm Atef Erfani.
And we're with you with our live Christmas special, the celebration of the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, the Messiah, peace be upon him. On behalf of IRIB English Radio staff, we congratulate all our Christian listeners throughout the world on the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him.
Congratulations and Merry Christmas to our Christian listeners.
A very Merry Christmas to all our Christian listeners.
We wish you peace, love, joy, health, and good tidings on the occasion of Christmas and the New Year 2022.
Keep us company until the end of the program.
Welcome back. This is the live Christmas special. And for your information, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the leader of Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, visits the families of Iranian Christian martyrs on the occasion of the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus almost every year. In one of these visits, in the previous years, the leader said, soldiers' endeavor roots in the mother's endeavor. The leader of the Islamic Revolution said, the Christian minority, both Armenian and Assyrian, emerged honorably from the 1978 revolution and the war as loyal, wise, insightful, and brave Iranians.
Also, Iranian President Sayyid Ebrahim Raisi, in a message, described celebrating Jesus Christ's birthday as an opportunity to remember the role model of altruism, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. He said, I'm delighted to offer my sincere congratulations to Your Holiness and all Christians around the world on the birth of Jesus Christ, the Prophet of Peace and Kindness, as well as the New Year 2022. President Raisi has issued a message to the leader of the world's Catholics, the Pope. He said, the birthday of Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the will and power of God, and the spiritual position of Saint Mary shows the greatness of the status of women in the ontology of the divine religions. And remember when angels said, O Mary, surely Allah has selected you, purified you and chosen you over all women of the world. Celebrating this blessed birthday is an opportunity to honor Saint Mary, peace be upon her, and to recall the moral qualities of the model of altruism and herald of the salvation of the oppressed, Jesus Christ, in standing against the tyranny of the oppressors and giving them hope of a better future. President Ebrahim Raisi said, I thank for your efforts to bring closer the hearts and views of the followers of the Abrahamic religions, and I pray to the Almighty for your health and success and the happiness and well-being of all servants of God and all human beings.
And also, according to reports, Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has, in a message, congratulated all Christians around the world, particularly those living in Iran, on the anniversary of the birth of Jesus Christ and Christmas. The full text of the message reads, in the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, The angel said, O Mary, God gives you good tidings of a word from him. His name is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, well esteemed in this world and the next, and one of the nearest. I congratulate all Christians, especially my descent and patriotic fellow countrymen, on the anniversary of the birth of Jesus Christ, a prophet of peace and reconciliation, and the flag bearer of kindness and altruism, and on Christmas, which is a period of festivity for Christians all around the world, especially my descent and patriotic Christian fellow countrymen. Under the current tough circumstances emanating from the coronavirus pandemic, all mankind is, more than ever, in need of friendship and the realization of spiritual messages of divine prophets. We hope for peaceful coexistence among followers of divine faiths and the elimination of tyranny, oppression, and injustice. I wish all people around the world, particularly followers of Christianity, a year full of health, happiness, and prosperity. Welcome back. According to reports, the Iranian President Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi has also visited the family of martyr Vartan Aghakhanian. Yes?
That's right. Iranian presidents virtually every year visit families of Iranian martyrs and Christian martyrs on the occasion of Christmas, and this year is no exception. Iranian President Seyed Ebrahim Raisi visited the family of martyr Vartan Aghakhanian on the occasion of Christmas, the birthday of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. President Raisi congratulated the family of the martyr Vartan Aghakhanian and all the followers of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, on the occasion of Christmas and New Year. He said, "The truth of the religion of Jesus Christ is not different from the truth of the religion of Islam, and the Holy Quran mentions excellent attributes for Saint Mary and Jesus, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him." President Raisi added, "The message of the martyrs to the ill wishers of this country is that the Iranian people are always ready to defend their homeland with self-sacrifice." The Iranian president said, "We owe a lot to martyrs and we should not hesitate defending and protecting the martyrs' achievements for a moment. Anyone who is ready to sacrifice his life for the home for his homeland, the people and the security of society is dear and respected to the Iranian nation. This is why the martyrs are a source of pride for the Iranian nation and for all the Iranian people."
Today, the 25th of December, is celebrated as the birthday of the Virgin-born Jesus, the Messiah, peace upon him. Jesus, peace upon him, who is considered one of the five greatest prophets by Muslims, the others being Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the last and greatest of them, Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has a special status in Islamic and religious texts.
Indeed, the case of Jesus with God is like the case of Adam. He created him from dust, then said to him, "Be," and he was. This is the truth from your Lord, so do not be among the doubters. What you just heard were ayahs 59 and 60 of Surah Ali Imran in the Holy Quran, where God Almighty informs us of the creation and birth of Prophet Jesus through the Virgin Mary, without the association of any male. Indeed, the birth of Jesus is one of the miracles of creation that modern science cannot even contemplate. There are lessons for believers in this regard, and in order to discover the true personality of Jesus, it is essential to study the Holy Quran and the Hadith or narrations. God Almighty also informs us in ayahs 22 to 27 of Surah Maryam in the Holy Quran, which stands as lasting honor to his mother Mary.
Thus she conceived him and withdrew with him to a distant place. The birth pangs brought her to the trunk of a date palm. She said, "I wish I had died before and become a forgotten thing beyond recall." Thereupon, the angel called from below her, saying, "Do not grieve. Your Lord has made a spring to flow at your feet. Shake the trunk of the palm tree. Freshly picked dates will drop upon you. Eat, drink, and be comforted. Then, if you see any human, say, 'Indeed, I have vowed a fast to the All-Beneficent, so I will not speak to any human today.'" Then Karen came, she brought him to her people.
Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, who used to refer to Prophet Jesus as my brother, says in Sermon 160 of the book Nahjul Balagha, "If you like, I will tell you about Jesus, the son of Mary. He used a stone as his pillow, wore coarse clothing, and ate rough food. His stew was hunger, and his lamp in the night was the moon. His shade in the winter was the east of the earth and its west. His fruit and his basil were what grow from the earth for the cattle. He had no wife to try him, and no son to grieve him. He had no wealth to distract him, nor greed to abase him. He had no mount to ride but his own feet, and none were his servants but his own two hands."
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we draw your attention to the prophecy of Jesus concerning the mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Jesus, in his native language, referred to as Hamda, a word translated as Paraclete in the Greek version of the Bible, or Comforter in the English translation of St. John's Gospel. In Arabic, this word means Ahmad, or highly praised one. The Noble Quran has preserved the original words of the Messiah in Ayah 6 of Surah Saf as follows.
O children of Israel, indeed I am the prophet of Allah to you, to confirm what is before me of the Torah, and to give the tidings of the prophet to come after me, whose name is Ahmad. We again heartily greet our Christian listeners throughout the world and present them what the Holy Quran has said in ayahs 34 and 35 of Surah Maryam about the Messiah. That is Jesus, son of Mary, the word of the truth, concerning whom they are in doubt. It is not for God to take a son. Immaculate is he. When he decides on a matter, he just says to it, be, and it is.
Well, the Christian New Year is just a few days away, and Christmas celebrations are underway across the world. And of course, the Christians of Iran are no exception. A number of Christian denominations are represented in Iran. Many members of the larger, older churches belong to minority ethnic groups. The Armenians and Assyrians having their own distinctive culture and language. Like other Christian communities, Iranian Armenians mark the New Year on January 1st, but they observe Christmas on January 6th instead of December 25th. Still, they start celebrations along with their fellow Christians around the world.
In actual fact, Christians make up less than 1% of Iran's population, but when it comes to the Christian New Year, the festive mood is felt everywhere in Iran, since these people feel at home and publicly celebrate the occasion. Just like every year, Armenian Christians in Tehran visit St. Sarkis Church in the downtown district of Tehran to observe the festivity with prayers. Most of the Christians in Iran are Armenians who follow the Oriental Orthodox Church. Like many other Christians, they mark the New Year with family gatherings, among other traditions. Religious minorities, including Christians, have their representatives in the Iranian parliament, the Majlis, to protect their civil and religious rights.
It's 8:54 p.m. Tehran time, and what about reading some of the comments of our dear listeners around the world?
Right, yes, great. We've got quite a few People writing to us from all over the world, from the Netherlands, China, United States of America.
India, the UK.
That's
yes,
right.
There are so many messages.
Okay, what have we got there?
Yes, here we have an... of course, this is a message. This is from China. This is from Lu Dacheng, who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, hello, many thanks for your greetings and felicitations. I also want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year 2022 to all listeners around the world. I think I will go for a shopping mall to enjoy the holiday and celebrate the two festivities." Thank
right.
you, Lu Dacheng from China.
Right, Atape. Do you know what the Chinese call Santa Claus, Father Christmas?
Oh, I don't know.
Right. It's Sheng Dan Long Ren. That's Chinese
it
for
really
Father
hard
Christmas.
To pronounce it.
That's right. Sheng Dan Lao Ren, which means Christmas Old Man in Mandarin Chinese.
Okay.
So that's what Santa Claus is called in Mandarin.
It was really hard to pronounce.
And
of
according
course.
To the Chinese, the Chinese believe that he lives in a fairy tale Arctic Christmas village in China's North Pole.
Okay, that was great. And from the Netherlands, we have an email from Han Hardong, who says, "Hello, dear friends at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for the best wishes for 2022. Let's hope that Corona became a ghost from the past in the coming year. I do not have many Xmas memories from my childhood, but there was always a book on the breakfast table. That is a nice memory. This year's celebration of New Year will be very simple. We are not allowed to see many people during the change of the year. No fireworks. With kind regards." Thank you, Han Hardong from the Netherlands. Do you
yes.
have any email there?
Well, we all wish, of course, that the coronavirus pandemic becomes a thing from the past and we see the end of it in this year, the new year, 2022. I've got a nice letter here from one of our listeners in the United States. Actually, he's from Florida, I believe. Yes, he's from Florida, and he's Bill McDavid. Bill McDavid from Florida, United States. Bill McDavid says, "My best wishes to all for the new year. I listen to you often presenting the English segment of the IRIB English Radio. You have excellent announcers and very easy to understand." Well, thanks very much, Bill McDavid, for that comment. He says, "I'm from the United States and we remember Christmas as a very festive period. Much snow and busy shopping malls during Christmas. Always enjoy my time with relatives. I'm 69 years old and I live in Florida, where we have warm weather all year round. Christmas was always very enjoyable for our children. New Year celebration always focus on being with friends, and we eat and we watch sports on television, etc."
Thank you, Bill McDavid from the US. Of course, Bill is one of our regular and old listeners.
That's
and
right.
And the next one, Muhammad Khaku from the US.
Yes,
Muhammad Khaku is also
right.
one of our old and regular listeners.
Yes,
let's
and he
see.
Lives in Pennsylvania, United States. He always writes to us, Muhammad Khaku, one of our regular listeners in Pennsylvania, United States. Muhammad Khaku says, "Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, and is a major religious celebration for Christians around the world. My family and friends will arrive home soon to celebrate Christmas. With the snow falling and wind howling, we will try to stay warm with the fire on, playing games and reading Christmas songs. I believe that the best gift you could give on the occasion of Christmas is you, your heart, your love, for your family and for your community." Well, what an excellent excellent comment there from
yes,
Muhammad
thank
Khaku
you for
in
sharing your experiences
that's
with us.
That's right.
And your memories.
That's right. The best gift you can give, as Muhammad Khaku says, on the occasion of Christmas, is your heart, your love to your family and your community.
And health.
That's right. May God bless you as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thanks very much, Muhammad Khaku, from Pennsylvania, United States.
Okay, is there anything left for,
Well, yes. Well, we've got another letter here. A very Merry Christmas from one of our listeners in the United Kingdom, in England. And it's Richard Cook. Richard Cook says, "Hello, it's been a while since I messaged you. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all your listeners. listening around the world. My Christmas and New Year celebrations will be minimal this year, he says. Only close family members for Christmas, and I don't get out much for New Year's Eve. Have celebrated Christmas before with lots of presents, but now it's just small presents. Well, I think Richard Cook is referring to the